Yeah. I got out of Requiem for a Dream sane.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah. I don't want to go do heroin.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Boners 3, we speak of for thee movies of Marvel, Fable, and Community on TV.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
That's me over here.
And today is a Geeky Boners episode.
Yay! I should have pulled it out.
We're going to talk about all the nerdy stuff that has us turgid.
Wow, turgid.
That's a good word.
That's a good word.
Such a raging clue.
It's the best word to describe an engorged member.
It is.
Turgid is the best boner word.
That's a really good word.
Yeah. So, Tim, what's your boner this week?
My geeky boner this week is I have finally, after a lot of people suggesting I do this, I finally started watching Community.
Mm. Yeah.
And I started season one, episode one, and as of right now, I'm into season two. It took me about a week.
It's the nerdiest show on television.
It's awesome. Yep. It's fucking hilarious. The theme song, holy shit, I just love the theme song.
Yeah, it's a cute song.
It just... sticks in my head, and I'm pissed off whenever the credits are only the partial song.
Yeah. Oh, get used to that, because they have more episodes, so now they don't need as long as the credits. So
that was my comment, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been spread on Facebook, and I'm like, but less song means more episode.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You can cut a line for more song. Yeah. I'm just saying, one line, cut
but
one
it's
line.
The same
that's
song.
All
I'll
you
take
need.
A new line every time.
So I enjoy it for the geekiness. My personal amusing geeky moments is the episode where they're riffing on MASH. They get to the end and the credits is the credit music for MASH.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing on MASH where they freeze the characters and they use the same font for the credits. And I thought that was just
the attention to detail on that show when they do a parody of something is amazing. They do a Law and Order episode later.
Yeah.
That is spot.
There's times that we're watching it and we realize that, I mean, we're getting it, it's funny, but I'll say to Nick, this is lampooning something that I don't know.
I'm not sure what it's
satirizing or what it's lampooning or what it's using to draw from, but I bet somewhere there's some people that are fucking losing their shit over this. The way I'm sure there were a lot of people laughing at the Dungeons and Dragons episode because they got it, but no one was laughing as hard as Nick or the other people that had played D&D their whole lives.
The thing is that it is... I love waiting on series until, you know, several seasons are out, because then I can just really sort of immerse myself in it. So I haven't gotten to the D&D episode. The paintball episode is fucking hilarious.
The first paintball episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. There's more.
Yeah.
But, and just the characters are awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, so we're Geeks Without God. So I'm going to talk for a minute about the religion thing that they do in the first season. The Christmas episode where they're, you know, all these characters admit what their religion is or talk about what their religion is. And there's a character who's an agnostic, there's a character who's an atheist. And what I think is really interesting, and I think kind of true, is when we find out which character is super, super Christian, she keeps on being super, super Christian.
Shirley
is... The Christian piece of it is always front and center with her.
The rest of the show
still is.
From then on, the atheist and the agnostic rarely refer to being atheist and agnostic.
It's true.
Yeah.
They just kind of are like, whatever.
Which one was the agnostic?
The agnostic is Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff's an agnostic because it's ironic because there's one thing he doesn't think he's arrogant enough to presume he knows the truth. He knows the right answer.
It's
like the one thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he says. And you've got Britta who says she's an atheist. And then you've got Abed who says he's a Muslim, but it feels more like he's a Muslim because
he's cultural Muslim.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you've got
Troy is a Jehovah's Witness.
Troy is a Jehovah's Witness, but he never acts like a Jehovah's
Witness.
He does
later. There's a lot of stuff where they'll be like, he'll talk about how you never had a birthday party and things like that and stuff. So
I think that is kind of in an interesting way. It actually depicts atheists and agnostics as I see them to be, which is people that aren't like sticking atheism and agnosticism in your face. They're just saying, this is what I am.
The Pierce is like space cult Chevy Chase's character. Yeah.
No, I just watched the episode where his mom dies and they turn her into a lava lamp.
What's funny,
like plasma tube or some shit like that.
What's funny about what you're just saying here, and just on a quick little religious aside, is that you're right, because you know it is a common thing to say, like, oh, this guy's, you know, doing bad stuff. You need to find Jesus. Like, y'all need to find Jesus in your life. But no one ever says, like, oh, he's doing bad stuff. Dude, you need to lose Jesus. Like, you don't, there's not a common thing of atheists going around saying to people, you know, if you stop believing in God, you'd be a better person. Like, not nearly the way you need to find Jesus. Or it's even in the vernacular. You have a come to Jesus talk. With somebody, which just means you sit them down and make them see the light.
Which,
I had never heard that phrase until you and your family. Really? So I think that's a Southern
John Graham's
thing.
Uses it at work all the time.
I've used it all the time. Really? I've known that phrase for a long time, even though...
Never heard that.
Yeah, come to Jesus meeting.
Yep, it's a come to Jesus meeting. It's a reckoning.
Is it? Yeah. Yep. That's what it means. So anyway, I imagine by the time this episode airs, I will have made it through at least one more season.
Six seasons in a movie, Tim. Six seasons in a movie. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying Community, and we'll be glad to talk to you about it more as you get caught up, because we're caught up. Molly, what's got you erect?
I am rock hard right now because I am holding in my hands the Fable Anniversary Collector's Edition Guide. It is super beautiful.
And you didn't just buy the guy.
I didn't just buy the guy. No, I bought Fable. I bought Fable Anniversary for Xbox 360, and this just shows you guys in the audience how much I care about you, that I am here recording episodes instead of playing this game. I never played Fable 1. I played Fable 2 and Fable 3 multiple times through.
Yeah.
I loved them. I'm very excited because Fable Anniversary is the first Fable game. Fable. And they've remastered it all.
Yep.
And there's actually a letter from the from Ted Timmons, the lead designer, that says that one of the things they did when they went through the old game was to try to figure out, okay, what's nostalgia versus what actually like is better than what we could do now.
Oh, sure.
I think the exact way he puts it is, what is charm versus out of date? Like, when is the original way still best, and when can we improve upon it?
Yeah.
So they've really not just remastered the graphics, which they did all of that, but also they've remastered the gameplay
and
quests and things. Yeah, they included all of the DLC in this game. For all of them. So it's, I cannot wait. I'm so excited to play it. You don't even know. It's because the last Fable game that came out was a goddamn abomination Rails
Kinect game.
Shooter Kinect game that was just the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I didn't even play it.
So I'm not an Xbox guy.
Yeah.
So tell me about Fable.
So Fable is a game, and I haven't played the first one, so I'll just tell you the second one. In the second one, the magic is gone, a long ago relic. No one believes in it anymore. They don't believe there's magic available. You are a hero, capital H. You're born with abilities. You find this out as a young child, and then you're raised in like a convent kind of a situation or whatever, and then you start as an adult to go strike out and find your fortune. There's of course, a big bad who's oppressing the world from his evil tower, and he's using magic. And so the cool thing about it is there's every decision you make has an effect on the outcome of your life, and it's a moral game. So you can do things that are good and things that are evil, and your appearance changes depending on which ones you do. So the
people's reaction to you
changes. The way shopkeepers' discounts will change to you depending. Like some shopkeepers won't give you, and you have multiple personality traits. Every NPC in the game has a name and an occupation and a personality and likes and dislikes. So if you're going to interact with them and get them to marry you or fuck you or whatever you want to do, because you can fuck in this game, it's it's hilarious. You have to, you know, do what they like. If they, you know, and so there's a variety of gestures. And so, like, the more good things you do, the more, you know, unfortunately, angelic you turn. Like, you glow. You get a halo.
You get, like, cracks of energy through your skin. Yeah, and like
the more magic you use, you get more energy crackles. The more sword you use, you get brawn. The more range you use, you get taller. So depending on what skill is so you, I mean, there's infinite ways to alter your appearance. Most of the time, you can't win the game by playing the middle road very well. You need to go one way or the other to get some of the better benefits.
Well, and then there's stuff like
so there's you can win the game going evil.
Absolutely.
In one of the games, you become like the tyrannical dictator when you take over the kingdom.
In Fable 3,
you replace the evil lord as yourself and install yourself as dictator.
In Fable 3, you're the king, and you install yourself as the king, and then you have to try to save the kingdom because the apocalypse is coming. Right. You have 1 year before everyone will die unless you know, and one of the things you have to do is get a certain amount of money. The only way, I've played that game 3 times, I try legit playing it, making all the good choices. And it's kind of silly because it's like, if you being a vegetarian is more moral than eating meat. And so, like, the worst thing you can eat is called a crispy chick. It's a baby chick deep fried.
live.
That's the worst thing you can eat. Like, that's really bad. But, like, and the best thing is, like, tofu and celery. But, so you can, so in Fable 3, I played through and I tried playing through making all the moral decisions and everyone died. Everyone died. I was the only one left, and because I tried to be the nice guy. So then I had to make the awful choices, like when they ask you, you know, we could probably turn a lot more revenue in the kingdom if you turn the old battered women's and orphans shelter into a whorehouse. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a choice you make.
They say, like, I mean, those women aren't really doing anything right now, and they could be making us money.
And then, like, the children could go work in a factory, and then, like, you have to see the children in the street trudging home from the factory.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Covered in soot, crying, or, like, they'll be sick, and, like, the women are, like, all prostituting themselves, and, like, you see them getting hit. There's real-world fucking ramifications for every decision.
But it's still
kind
of lighthearted and cartoony.
It is lighthearted. I don't mean to make it sound like you're...
It's not a grim, dark game.
You don't feel bad about the orphans or the hookers.
I never do.
But there's all kinds of side quests. It's one of the funniest games I've ever played.
It is a very fun game.
Really, but not silly, but just genuinely funny.
When you kill, like, a boss or, you know, let's say you slay the dragon, you get that dragon's head, and you can walk up to a crowd of people and pull out that dragon's head and hold it up above your head and go, eh?
And everyone goes,
crowds will be like, oh my gosh,
oh, there it is. And you get, like, points, renown.
Because,
like,
it's not just good and evil, there's a renown, too.
There's a whole bunch of sections. And like, your personality, depending on the way that you make different the different things you do. So in Fable 2, since no one knows about magic, if you use your magic in town, people scream and run away.
Yeah.
And they'll get the cops and they'll attack you because they think that you are a devil.
Right.
And so in Fable 3, now they know who you are because you're the son of or daughter of the your other hero from Fable 2. So everyone's cool with magic. They think you're awesome.
Yeah.
And so now it's like,
or terrible.
You have but then, like, there's like a slider bar from, like, fear to what they think you're laughable. They're afraid of you. Do they think you're silly? Two, they love you. They hate you. And then there's one more that's like they think you're, like, gross, or they think you're great. And it's like different things you do. Like, if you walk around, which you can do, if you walk around just, like, making the farting gesture in town in the middle of square and lighting magic off, people are gonna think you're silly and awful, and they will raise their shop prices, and they will not want to marry you, and they will be upset.
Oh, that's right. Was it 2 or 3 that they allowed gay marriage?
Both. Yeah, it's a very gay-friendly game.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I make it a point... I like to make it a point to marry a man in town who has a job and then, like, make him take... Because you can have kids then. Make him take care of the kids, and then, like, in other towns, have, like, a little lady on the side that my lady likes to hook up with for lady time.
Yeah.
Their characters will say, if it's a man, it will say gay, straight, or bisexual. No matter what. It says gay or lesbian... or straight, or it says bisexual. So if it's bisexual, they will accept offers from either sex. And if it says lesbian and you're a man, you cannot hit on her. She is not interested.
You can hit on her, but she will
not like it.
She will dislike you, and she will get negative.
You see it's like real time. It's like woofy. You see the rolling points off people. Yeah. So like as you're doing something, you'll see like green, 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 and then like a little bit of red, red, because there's one person who's like, ugh, I don't like it. So you're getting -1, -1. Huh. And over here it's like +1, +1, +1. So
how long does it take to play the game?
About a month of, well, last time I played this game, I was unemployed. So like 3 weeks.
I think it's pretty in depth.
It's role action adventure role playing. So
there's lots of side quests.
If you do every side quest and you're a completionist, I don't know, maybe like 50 hours to 100 hours of gameplay per game.
Yeah, depending on how you are. I mean, I'm pretty good at Fable. Is the other reason I like it a lot, because it's third person, and
it's a little button mashy.
It's a game that doesn't that we're a button masher like myself can not get penalized for. You know, it's like the Lego games. I just end up jumping all over everything because I always get my attack buttons combos, and when there's combos,
and you never know which character.
Oh, I know, it's really bad. I'm really bad at that, but yeah, I'm good at this, and it makes me feel good to play it. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, we got the Lego Marvel Superheroes game, and I've actually, you know, if I ever actually had time to do a little video gaming on it.
We haven't telling you should actually quit that job.
Awesome. apparently
I did quit that job, and look how that worked out.
The Lego Marvel game has such a full roster of characters that even has like Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. And
anyway, that's my boner.
I like that's a good boner.
It's a good boner.
Healthy size.
Pink.
Sick
and dangerous.
My boner is there's been some like casting stuff for Marvel comic movies lately, and
you've been all gay for that.
And given there's really no reason to get excited about DC comic casting.
Really not, except for
I like the Wonder Woman.
Is it Gail Godot?
Gail Godot
is the cast.
Gabby Godot or whatever.
Yeah, they cast Wonder Woman for Superman versus Batman. And the woman they cast is the female lead to the Fast and the Furious movies, I guess. And a lot of people were like, "Eh, her boobs aren't big enough, and she's
she's too skinny. She can't be athletic.
She has a very slight frame for sure. And
people can bulk up.
For sure. And plus, you know, costumes, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that they cast a Wonder Woman, because there's no excuse why they haven't done a Wonder Woman something yet.
There's no excuse why there's no Black Widow film in development. I just don't get it.
Well, they're actually not much to her. Actually, Black Widow and Hawkeye might be getting their own movies.
There's not a lot to her, to be honest.
To Black Widow?
Well, hold on. Like, it depends on what they want to get into. And the thing is, like, I don't think they're going to... The Marvel movies heretofore have been pretty, like, PG, PG-13. But Black Widow's shit is kind of R, and I don't know if they would make it right.
They have all this tie-in to Netflix now to do original movies.
True, so if they do it on Netflix and not, like, an in-theaters movie, for sure. But, like, my concern is, if they're going to do a Black Widow movie...
It should be rated R.
It needs to be rated R, and if they're not going to rate it R, then there's not much to her. Like, it's just, I mean...
I think
like my big one is like awesome, the greatest thing ever. They cast Paul Rudd as Ant-Man,
yes,
but then like they cast him as Scott Lang, which was my least favorite Ant-Man. I was really hoping they'd do Hank Pym, but then it's like, oh, they cast Hank Pym too. He's gonna be in the movie. But he's cast by Michael Douglas.
He wasn't cast by as Michael Douglas. Right. Yeah.
So it's going to be the old Hank.
Right.
Right.
And so
that's a little better.
It's Edgar Wright. So still have, you know, faith, huh? But he said that it's going to be, you know, one part like 60s, 70s espionage, and then another part like modern day superhero. So I have a feeling that he's going to be doing some like Hank Pym in the movie that's going to be enjoyable. That's what I'm looking forward to. But I love Paul Rudd, so...
Paul Rudd is an amazing actor.
He might be able to make Scott Lang tolerable.
Is there any rumor... Are they going to, like, put Wasp in the Ant-Man movie at all?
People will see. Before when they were just saying Paul Rudd is Ant-Man, and they hadn't confirmed it was Scott Lang, people were saying that Rashida Jones was being talked to do a Wasp.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense if they're doing Scott Lang, because she's Hank Pym's wife.
And if Michael Douglas is old Pym, then there should not be a Wasp.
I don't know.
if he's old.
Yeah.
There's no Wasp now.
Well, unless they do a flashback and
yeah, there could be
young Hank Pym.
If they're going to do a flashback, it's just, I mean, there's going to be one scene they flashback to. That's really the only one that matters.
Just for the record, Reed Richards has hit Sue Storm.
No, and I
Peter
know.
Parker has hit Mary Jane Watson way more than Hank Pym ever hit.
You see that Ultron over there? I built that Ultron. Do they call me Hank Pym the Ultron Builder? No, they do not.
Exactly.
You hit your wife one time.
So apparently, this is weird, but apparently... Channing Tatum really wants to play Gambit really bad.
Yeah, that is weird.
His dad is like swamp trash Cajun folk.
I can see that.
And he knows how to speak like in that
patois.
Cajun patois, and so he really wants to be Gambit. And people are talking about it. Singer acknowledged it, I guess.
I would be cool with that. How do you? I mean, I feel like I think he could slim down.
I think Gambit's costume covers almost all of his body, no matter which costume you're talking about. And so body type and shape doesn't matter as much.
I think he needs to slim down a little because Gambit has an angular face and doesn't have the all-American football player look that Channing Tatum has a little bit. But I think it's totally... I mean, Matthew McConaughey... is renowned for changing his whole face changes when he gains or loses weight.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I mean I can see that happening to Channing Tatum too. He's got high cheekbones.
So that's not for sure or anything, but that's cool. So Winter Soldier is coming out in like a month and whatever.
That trailer looks fucking awesome.
The Super Bowl trailer was great.
Yeah.
Hold on, I have to remind myself. Tim, do you know who the Winter Soldier is?
I do.
Okay.
Now.
You know who the Winter Soldier really is?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if we should.
We're
not gonna say.
It's
here.
Like moratorium, man. But I mean, like you, Ed Brubaker wrote that comic in like 2002, 2003.
I'll tell you that I don't think while there's certainly gonna be that reveal for some people, I don't think the movie's gonna stand or fall on whether or not who the Winter Soldier.
That's
is.
Fair. Well, so then we're gonna spoil it. So just so you know.
So if you don't know already. Spoiler, they kind of set it up in the first movie. If you've read the Captain America comics, you saw it. You saw them plant this for the second movie. The Winter Soldier is Bucky Barnes.
Yes.
Right.
He doesn't die in the 1940s when Cap and him are up to hijinks. Some shit happens, and we won't reveal what happens. But the Winter Soldier is Bucky Barnes. It's all important. And that looks great.
Yeah.
And there's this scene that they took right out of Civil War, not the Winter Soldier comic, where Cap is in the elevator with a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and he's like... All right, anyone wants to get out of the elevator now? It's your last chance. And then the next scene is the elevator doors opening and they are all unconscious.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to kill anyone because you guys are doing your jobs, but at the same time, I can't really stop me.
Second request.
Yeah. But so they, in, what was it, Esquire magazine, the X-Men covers?
I think so.
Some magazine had like 9 different issues and each issue had a different...
Days of Future Past.
Someone from Days of Future Past, X-Men movie coming out. And, old Magneto, young Magneto, old Professor X, young Professor X, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The Sentinels look dope. Kitty Pryde, who's...
I like rolling. The Sentinels a lot.
The Sentinels look great.
The Future Sentinel has a few shape nods to Nimrod, the Future Sentinel from that... Mm. From, like, Days of Future Past-ish X-Men, even though it looks... It's not, like... A pink dildo. It looks like something terrifying.
Yeah.
Though I suppose a pink dildo could be terrifying if it's just
big enough. If it's big enough, yeah.
I'll find a way.
But like super, super disappointing is Evan Peters, who Molly and I, we love this guy. He's in American Horror Story. He played Tate.
Tate from American Horror Story, the first one, Tate. And then the second one, he was the Boston...
The mixed marriage dude,
and then
the third one he was Frankenstein boy.
Yeah,
but he amazing actor, young guy, and he's playing Quicksilver, Pietro Maximoff.
Great fit for him, like,
perfect fit,
really great.
The picture of him, he looks like Skrillex took a dump in a comic book. It looks so bad.
I'm telling you, I think the costume, most of the superhero costumes they do in movies. I mean, as much as I love. Most of the Marvel movies, a lot of the superhero costumes are fucking ugly.
You know what, though? So, okay, with the Avengers movies, and I'm going to use my favorite example, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Hawkeye has a fucking ridiculous costume in the comics.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Avengers movie comes out. Around the time the Avengers movie, or Thor actually, came out, they did a Hawkeye redesign with a lot of nods to the original costume. The colors are similar, but it's like an actual practical costume for bow and arrow guy without powers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the costume they did in the movie. That's the costume they have in the comics now. Boom. Like, synergy. Mission accomplished. We changed this ridiculous costume to something contemporary that doesn't look ridiculous. It's also canon. It's true to the original in spirit. Like, this Quicksilver costume, the dude has, like, a DJ crossfader on his belt and, like,
it's weird that his hair isn't just white. What's really confusing.
Pietro's hair, he has this short white hair that's messy on top, and he's got these curls that, as my friend Mark Sherman pointed out, are kind of a nod to Magneto's helmet. Right. Because he's Magneto's son.
He's got two little curls that curl around like horns.
Yeah, usually. And that's just kind of like a...
It's also used to indicate his motion, because he's a character in motion, and having hair that moves around a bit like that up on top.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The costume shit just looked terrible, with the exception of Blink.
Maybe it'll look better when it's moving.
Yeah. But the good news to that is, like, Marvel has their Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch picked out for Avengers 2. It's Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, the kid from Kick-Ass.
Except they won't actually be mutants, because they can't say mutant.
Because mutant is tied to
Bryan Singer and the X-Men.
They don't have to explain their powers. They just have to exhibit them.
I know. It frustrates the living bejesus out of me.
Can they say that they're mutated?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know why they can't just come to an agreement.
Like, so Marvel has been pushing really hard on their Inhumans line lately and their plots. And Inhumans are kind of, they're not really any different than mutants. They're just another way to get your powers, kind of genetically-ish. And so I think they might be trying to incorporate Inhumans into their cinematic universe to replace mutants.
Since they don't have X-Men under their control.
Since they don't have the rights to do mutants in their movies.
Yeah.
And so, who knows, they might be Inhuman. I understand. But mm-hmm. as long as their costumes don't look like absolute shit and they're true to the characters, it's fine.
Yeah.
But the rumor is that they are going to be revealed in their costumes as the Stinger for Winter Soldier.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
And they're going to be referred to as the twins.
All right.
And that's it, and nothing else.
Well, I'm willing to, somehow
I'm more excited for Winter Soldier because of what the Stinger's going to be.
The thing about the Marvel movies so far is, I mean, there are some that haven't been as good, but in general, they're pretty solid.
The only one that hasn't been that great is Iron Man 2.
I think
every single other movie has been fucking amazing.
And Iron Man 2 still had Robert Downey Jr. playing Tony Stark, and everything that he does is great and amazing.
I'd rather watch...
Iron Man 2 is not a complete disaster.
I'd rather watch Iron Man 2 than Life of Pi or half the movies I saw this year.
You guys are
going to
mention
honest.
Life of Pi.
I really never let you forget it.
I know. And that's all right.
I hear that you have a movie that can make me hate Tim.
Fantastic.
No, it's just a parable.
So now that we've relieved our boners...
Oh, it's just turning into a harmless old Bruce Banner.
I wouldn't say they're relieved. I've got four more seasons of that.
Well...
Tim's got geeky blue balls.
Geeky blue balls. We are going to move on to five questions. We have five answers from a listener.
We do. We have five answers from David Elwin Traylor, also known as Captain America, also known as a rookie who is trying out this year
for
Vilification Tennis. Woe be unto him.
That's right. It's funny that we end talking about Captain America when
I know.
Yeah.
We know him from his astounding Captain America costume.
I've decided I'm gonna start calling him David America, because I don't want to keep calling him Captain America.
Yeah.
The name's David.
Right.
But when I say just David, everyone looks at me blankly, and then I end up saying Captain America anyway.
And they're like, oh, right.
Right. So I'm just going to say David America.
David America.
All right. So David America writes in. You guys gotta ask me.
Yeah. Oh, so
I didn't know if there was a preamble.
Yeah.
Well, there is, but it's super personal. I don't know if I want to get into it as much. I will say this. He says that because he was recently living in Seattle and he just moved back here to Minnesota. So back home. So he says This podcast has been part of my connection to my home in Minnesota while I've been living and working in Seattle these past 6 years. So listening to this podcast indulges not only my atheism boner, but my nostalgia, geeky, and Minnesota boners all at once. That is a rare feat. Thanks for it. Here goes.
So we got the tri-boner-fecta.
Yeah.
So, all right. David America, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Hands down, the pure and unadulterated geek porn that is Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
I bought this DVD the day it came out, and it has not left my Xbox since. I find myself queuing up one scene or another just by itself, only to find myself watching to the end every time. As an anime fan, Gundam Wing, Big O, Evangelion... Sure. I have been wishing for a film like this since I was 8, and now it exists. Fuck yes.
Man, I would love to go back and watch Big O. Like, I've never seen...
Big O was pretty good.
Big O was good, man, because it was like Bruce Banner, if instead of becoming Batman, he became a giant mech pilot.
Yeah.
And his Alfred was like not just his butler, but well-trained in a variety of military weapons.
I have a hard time watching the Big O because of the dude who does Spike Spiegel's voice. And I can't unhear him as Spike, so it throws me off to hear him doing another voice. And I kind of don't like it, but it was hard for me to watch it because of that.
He does the voice of Bigby, the Big Bad Wolf, in Wolf Among Us, Telltale Games.
Fucking awesome.
I just got to say, friend of the show, Ron Bauman, actually sent me an email after our Geeky Boner episode where I talked about Pacific Rim being my Geeky Boner.
Yeah.
And he hates the movie.
Really?
So what?
I'm just saying, Ron, I'm saying this right here on the air. You're fucked in the head.
You gotta have a geeky boner mention.
I can understand being bored by it, but hate is so...
Maybe not hates, but he really didn't like it.
All right.
I like to talk to him when we disagree, though. That's fun.
Yeah.
Tim?
Question number two. What is your favorite atheist character?
This may be a bit of a stretch, but in my interpretation, Hotspur from Shakespeare's Henry IV.
He openly
mocks Owen Glendower, a Welsh warlord claiming to be a wizard, with this exchange. When Glendower boasts that he can summon spirits from the vasty deep, Hotspur replies, "So can I, or any man, but will they come when you call for them?" His skepticism and willingness to call out bullshit makes him my favorite character in the play next to Falstaff.
Huh.
That's a really great answer. That's a deep cut.
I'm not
as familiar with the histories, and so now this makes me want to go back. This makes me want to read Henry IV again.
Nice answer. I don't have anything further to say.
Yeah. Question number three. What's your geekiest hobby?
Reflecting on my previous answer, Shakespeare. Everything about those plays. As an actor, I have a massive geek boner to play any and all of the myriad of the badass and complex characters he wrote. I could spend my entire life performing Shakespeare and feel fulfilled every second. I also like to think Shakespeare himself was an atheist because he clearly knew how religion made people do stupid things all too well to have bought into it. It might be projection, but I could see him at least maybe not being... It's hard to say back then because there was really no separation of even religion and science.
Yeah, you could,
at the time,
you couldn't be
natural philosophy.
It was just starting.
Barely.
Yeah.
And we know so little about Shakespeare the person, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We just know his plays.
You know, David, you really should watch there's a Canadian show.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Shit.
No. I know. All right.
Google it while I look up the next. Something, Slings and Arrows.
Slings and Arrows. David, you should watch Slings and Arrows. It is the most amazing comedy series I've ever seen about Shakespeare.
It's a Canadian Shakespeare theater company.
It's on either Hulu or Netflix,
At
least it was at one time.
I think so.
So they do a different play or two each season, and
it's
fucking
amazing.
Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
Well, I'm tempted to go with Colazzi's Philly cheesesteak here in Seattle. In terms of sheer delicious and combining my love of sandwiches and breakfast food, I will go with the Monte Cristo. Must have extra bacon, a nice rich melty Swiss, and be toasty as fuck on the outside, combined with pure maple syrup for maximum effect. I've never had a Monte Cristo and maple syrup.
Monte Cristo is basically a French toast sandwich, so...
But I've
never been a big fan of mixing my sweet with my other flavors, I guess.
The Monte Cristo I've had was quote unquote French toast in that it was, you know, egg battered bread.
Right.
It's egg battered bread and then ham and Swiss. It didn't have bacon in it. Ham and Swiss, and it had turkey and then more Swiss. And then it was it's battered. The whole sandwich is battered and deep fried, cut on an angle and then dusted with powdered sugar and served with like a raspberry compote. Nice. So that's how I've had it. And
so it's not appealing to me.
It's fucking crazy good. It's really weird. It's a state fair food type.
Is this
thing,
a chicken and waffles thing?
Yes, and it's very much the kind of thing where you eat it and you're like, oh, that's really good. Or you're like, oh my god, I want it forever. Or you're like, ick.
I like a good Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I've never had them any other way, so this is an interesting. All right.
Have you had chicken and waffles, Tim? Fried chicken and waffles?
No, that doesn't sound like something I'd ever want to eat.
It's weird.
It sounds too greasy because fried chicken. Why would I want a fried chicken on waffles?
It's one of those things that you eat them side by side, kind of like it's kind of like it's not like mashed potatoes and gravy. It's more like how you might eat
hash browns and eggs,
meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
right. Except those are two things that shouldn't go together in my mind. But obviously they do for other people.
It's a weird.
I mean, when I tried it, I get it, and it's not for me.
I get it. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. I can see how somebody being crazy for this. Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. Is it me?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Question number 5. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
I think it would be the claim believers make about a God-shaped hole in my heart. It's just flat-out insulting to expect me to buy this line about being somehow inherently miserable unless I drink the Kool-Aid. The confidence trickster God then emerges, who breaks your leg and then sells you the cast. The God of the Bible sounds sleazy as fuck. Yeah, dude, I love that. The God who breaks your leg and then tries to sell you the cast. Yeah. Because that is all it is, man. Like, it's you need God. Well, how do you know? Well, because I can tell you don't have God.
It's so weird. Why is there a God-shaped hole in all of it? Why did God put that there? What?
It's
insecurity.
I'm going to put this hole here so you can fill it. It's like,
insecurity.
It's just like, why would God be a jealous God? Yeah. If God is God, we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, yes, I agree with all that.
Thank you for your answers, David America.
Yeah, thank you, David America.
And good luck at the Vocation Tennis Amateur Show.
You're so fucked.
We have horrible things in store for you.
Oh, my God.
Don't suck.
I would start swallowing larger and larger things just now.
Just to stretch out your throat.
Don't tell him that.
I'm just saying.
All right. So those were our geeky boners. If you had some geeky boners of your own, let us know. If you have answers to our 5 questions, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Do us a favor and rate us on iTunes, please. It would really help us out a lot.
Then we could become a staff pick, and then we'll be somebody.
Yeah.
Because
we want to be famous from podcasting.
Yeah, we
want to be famous on the internet.
We are Geeks Without God. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. May all your geeky boners be geeky. Bye.
Bye. The geeky boner could be ours and yours and mine.
These boners belong in a museum.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Much help, so homicide.